Father, we indeed delight. Thank you for this day.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for the gift of life and health and strength.
Thank you, God.
Thank you so much for a sound mind.
Oh, God.
The presence of mind to come to the house of worship and to worship you in spirit and in truth.
My God, my God.
So, Lord, as we come now, we pray that your word would fall on fertile soil.
Yeah.
Break up the fallow hearts of ours and make them receptive to what you have to say.
Yeah.
Lord, I pray that you would think with my mind, that you would speak with my mouth, that I might say and do those things which bring glory to you.
Yeah.
Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine.
Mm-hmm.
Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of thine heart be acceptable in thine sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
Yeah.
And the people of God said amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, I thank you for this day. I'm grateful to be here.
Amen.
You know, when you start reaching a certain age, you're thankful to be anywhere. As those years start piling on top of each other, things folks used to say are now making a whole lot of sense.
My God.
You know, a reasonable portion of health.
Right.
Thankful that your bed wasn't your cooling board. And
right.
You know the one, right?
Right.
That's it.
Every day is a good day.
That's right. Every day is a good day. So we honor the Spirit of Christ. And to my friend and your pastor.
Yes.
I first met him, I believe, in 1999.
Something like that.
With Prison Fellowship Ministries. And we were both co-laborers with those who were incarcerated. And he was our instructor. He trained volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
And what I admired about him is that he would always make time. He was a busy man then, as he is now, but he would make time to give instruction to those who had a burden to go in and minister to men and women that were in prison. And that was not always an easy calling on one's life, but he rose to the occasion and often made himself available. So God be praised for you.
Yes, you sir.
And his pastor's heart was reflected even back then,
amen,
before the Lord had assigned him here,
amen,
at Chapman Grove. So God be praised for him.
Amen.
He really is a brother beloved. I really mean that. When you start looking over your life and you begin to see that you've been able to have good relationship with someone for over 20 years, I don't take that for granted.
Yes, sir.
Some folk can't have friends for 5 minutes.
Right.
But when you manage to make something work, and it takes effort to make relationship work.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, many of us don't have the desire or time. But I have the desire and time for your pastor, and I thank
God
for him.
Yes,
he's such a giant. God be praised for your fellowship.
Amen.
Bless you, sir.
I'll leave it at that, because folks don't always want to follow leadership, but God be praised for your spirit. I'm not going to labor before you long. I want to thank you for my wife, for her presence, 42 years.
My God.
Yeah, for 42 years she's put up with me, and I thank God for her. I often tell her if she leaves, I'm going with her. I don't have time now to start anything over. I have less time now than I... Really, I have less time now.
And going with her.
She is, I thank God for the gift that he gave me. And I really thank God for her.
Amen.
And our three daughters who love Pastor. I'm moved quickly. He often leaves these long messages on the phone back
long
in the day. And my kids would always wonder, Dad, Pastor Jackson called you, and you need to hear his message. And again, they were always grateful for him. Let me move quickly. I'd like to invite your attention to Mark chapter 5.
Amen.
Mark chapter 5, I'm going to begin reading at verse 15 in Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. This is how it reads. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind. And they were afraid. And those who saw it told them how it happened to him who had been demon possessed and about the swine. Then they began to plead with him to depart from their region. And when he got into the boat, he who had been demon possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you." And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. You may take your seat.
Amen.
I'd like to preach from the theme, Jesus, too good to let go.
My.
Jesus, too good to let go. I like this man. He was a man who was thoughtful, a man who appreciated what Jesus had done for him. Perhaps he reflected upon his old life. Perhaps he remembered how he used to be. And now he's reflecting upon Jesus, what Jesus had done for him. And he reached a place in his life where he wanted to be with and go with Jesus.
Yes.
Jesus, in this man's eyesight, was too good
to let go.
To let go.
Come on, sir.
He could not release Jesus without the desire of wanting to be with him. And as we will learn in the text, that as Jesus was getting ready to go, he said, "Lord, I want to go with you."
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but when the Lord does something in your life, when the Lord has delivered you from a situation that was difficult and dire, now your heart wants to be as close to him as you can, because your memory is still fresh about where you were and where he has brought you from. This man said, "Lord, I want to go with you."
My God.
Don't you know that ought to be the desire of everyone who has been born again? Everyone who has had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ should be in a place where you don't want to let him go. He's been so good to you.
Yeah.
As you look back over your life and you think things over, you know that it was nobody but Jesus. Yeah. And if the Lord had not been on your side, where would you be?
My God.
Jesus, too good.
Let go.
To let go.
My God.
And I thought about that, and it occurred to me in John's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 66, the Bible says, "And they walked with him no more." And I was taken aback by that, because I tried to understand, how is it that once you have tasted his grace, once you have walked in his precious promises, once you have been in his presence, why would you choose not to walk with him no more? Text doesn't say. Perhaps there was a misunderstanding. Maybe they miscalculated the cost of discipleship and decided that I no longer want to follow this man named Jesus. But why in the world would anyone who has tasted and seen him want to not walk with him?
Yeah.
Then it occurred to me, Reverend, and some of us are guilty of that.
Say it, sir.
I had to slow down and look at myself.
Say
there
it.
Have been times
when
I've walked away from Jesus. Maybe I did not physically walk away, but I walked away from him in the sense that I did not have time to serve him.
My God.
I walked away from him and that I did not have time to worship and glorify him. I walked away from him that I did not have time for Bible study. I walked away from
Jesus.
Him that I no longer wanted to follow his principles and promises. There have been times.
Yeah. Mercy, God.
When I have walked away from Jesus.
Mercy, God.
But thank God I came to myself.
Yeah.
And realize that I need to stick and stay with Jesus.
Yeah.
Come what may.
Yeah.
This man had reached a point in his walk where he said, Jesus, once you've been around him, once he's delivered you, you realize that you want to stay with Jesus.
Yes, sir.
And I say that now, beloved, because you and I are witnessing some strange and peculiar times. People who used to walk with him, people who used to love him, people who used to love his word are now drifting away.
Yes. Yes.
And some of them in our family.
Yes, sir.
People we love.
Yes, sir.
Who once walked with him but no longer have time for the master. I don't know about you, but that aches my heart.
Yeah.
It should ache all of our hearts when we see that people are headed to hell in the fast lane and enjoying the trip.
My God.
But I thank God for this man. I tried to figure out what is it that Jesus did for him that made him reach this station in life where he said, Lord, you too good to let go.
Huh?
Well, let's look at this for a moment. Then I'm going to be out of your way and headed back up to Baltimore. Jesus welcomes the curious, the confused, the rejected, the misunderstood, those with twisted and sick minds. Jesus welcomes them.
Yes.
This man was in a mess.
Uh-huh.
Okay, let me help you because I'm not sure if you believe me. He says that he's a man who had an
unclean
spirit.
Right.
Evil. That's what this man had. And the Bible says, as soon as Jesus got out of the boat, this man approached him. Now, you got to remember what happened in Mark chapter 4. When Jesus had said, let's go over to the other side. They got into the boat and went over to Galilee.
Uh-huh.
And then there was a storm. Jesus was asleep on a pillow. They wake up Jesus and said, Lord, don't you care that we perish?
Yeah.
And then Jesus got up and he rebuked the waves and the sea. The wind went back to its hiding place and the waves lay down on his gentle command.
Uh-huh.
Jesus now, they make it to the other side.
Yes.
Jesus now gets out of the boat. The disciples had to be saying, wait a minute. Did not we just have one adventure? And now this madman comes running to Jesus, who's naked, who's living in among the tombs, and now he's in the master's face. What in the world else is going to happen? Just to maybe put a pin in that. Sometimes when you hang out with Jesus, things can be very unpredictable. You don't always know what's going to happen, but you can be guaranteed that something is going to happen.
My God.
He comes running to Jesus.
Uh-huh.
And look at him. It says he dwelt among the tombs. They put chains on him to bind him, and he kept breaking the chains.
My goodness.
Shackles on his feet. Those were broken. And look, it says night and day, he was screaming.
Huh.
I'm not kidding. And he was in the mountains.
Mm-hmm.
Cutting himself with stones.
Oh,
hallelujah. This man has some real drama going on in his life.
Yes, sir.
And then it says, he had the presence of mind to look up.
Yeah.
And in the midst of looking up, he saw Jesus from afar.
Yes.
And the Bible says he ran. Now, I struggle with this because I don't know when a man picked up and a demon came in, but here's the point. He ran to Jesus.
Yes. Yeah.
The point is that whatever your condition is, you would be wise to run to Jesus.
Yes.
It's a wise person who runs to the master.
All right.
Okay, We run a lot of places, don't we? We run to the market. We run to our workplace. We run to pick up our children. We run to do all kinds of things. But I challenge you to do more running to Jesus. Yeah. If we did more running to Jesus, some of our homes would look different.
All right.
I'm not aiming at you, but if it hits you, it's designed for some of our marriages would look different.
I like that.
Some of our children might be in a different place if we would run more to Jesus.
Yes, sir.
There's something about running to Jesus, because as I run to him, I'm making an admission. What I'm saying is,
yeah,
Lord, I can't, but I believe
you can. You can. Yeah.
And if you can,
that's good, brother.
I'm going to wait on you.
Yes, sir. That's good, brother.
That's what he did. He ran to Jesus.
Yes.
Listen, folks talking about leaving the country because of who was elected.
Right.
I ain't going nowhere. I'm hanging out where I always been. Ain't trying to get no passport or ticket nowhere. But this is what you do. You start hanging with Jesus.
Help him.
And when you start talking about leaving, look at some of his promises.
Help
I will
him.
Never leave you nor forsake you.
Right.
Nothing can separate me from your love. Neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities.
Yes, sir.
Or the person who is elected.
Yeah. Come on, sir.
Run to Jesus.
Yes, sir.
I know that's old-fashioned for some folks, but I've been walking with him long enough, Reverend.
Come on, sir.
To know that if I run to him,
yeah,
that he is faithful and just and will lean in and listen to my plea.
Right.
There's never been a time when he has not been where I expected him to be.
Right.
I like it.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, God.
That's why Jesus welcomed this man.
Yes.
Because we'll look in the text and see Jesus, as the man ran to him, we'll see Jesus didn't say, whoa, wait a minute. You're naked? You're crazy? You've been hanging out in the
some clothes on.
I don't have nothing to do with you.
Come on, Sam.
He did not.
No.
In fact, the scripture says the man then worshiped him.
Yes.
Now, listen. The man ran to Jesus. Then the man began to worship Jesus. Now, this is not the kind of worship this man was doing because Jesus had done something for him. Jesus had not done anything for him yet.
Come on, sir.
But he had a reverence for God. He had a reverence for Jesus.
Teach.
And one of the dilemmas of our day is that we no longer have a reverence for the master. No longer have a reverence for God and his greatness and his majesty.
Yes.
The big man upstairs.
Right.
The man upstairs.
Help him.
He's a holy and righteous God, sovereign.
Yes.
A God who can do any and everything that nothing is too hard for.
Yes.
The man began to worship God. And maybe if we would just simply learn to run to him.
Yes.
And listen, you're better placed than he is, because at least now you have a reason to worship him.
Come on, sir.
He was just reverencing God for who he was. But you know what he's done in your life. You can take your worship to a whole nother level than this man.
Right.
Because he woke you up this morning.
Right.
He's been protecting you. He's kept clothes on your back. He's kept food in your refrigerator. You've been able to rub two nickels together. He has been good to you. So
good.
You have a reason and a purpose to praise him.
Yes, sir.
I get nervous when we get comfortable with our praise.
Right.
When you consider how good God has been. All right, let me make it personal.
Come on here.
In October of 21, the doctor said I had cancer. It was a carcinoma in my bladder. This was October of 21.
Right.
I know a whole lot of folks who have died from cancer since that time.
Right.
But it was God's unmerited favor, his grace, that has kept me alive. Listen, I don't care what church I'm at on Sunday. In fact, I don't even have to be in the church house. I can be in my house just giving God praise for how good he is. I don't need nobody to pump me up. I ain't got to have nobody prime me. I'm just thankful for how good God is. That may not be your testimony, but you got a story about how God has kept you from last year to today.
My God.
I get nervous I get nervous.
Come on, sir.
When we get so comfortable and cool,
right.
I've got to say something.
Something.
If he can't count on nobody,
yeah.
he can count on me to lift high his name and give him away.
Glory, God.
Thank you,
glory, glory, glory.
This man, I just want you to know that.
Yes,
sir. That as you look at the landscape that we're in,
uh-huh.
just make it your practice
yes,
to run to the master and praise him.
Yes.
And if you need help, you got all kind of YouTube musicians and you.
Come on, sir.
It's no excuse. Got less days now. Not ashamed.
Uh-huh.
Not ashamed of how I represent my master.
Yes.
It's amazing. It's this man. He just Jesus. That ought to be a picture for you to realize that you can come to him just as you are. I don't care what you've done. Listen, it doesn't even matter what you're still doing.
Come on, sir.
You talking about stuff we used to look. What about the right now stuff you still doing?
Come on, sir.
Come on. He's got room for you. There's room at the cross for you.
Glory.
Though millions have come.
Still room.
There's still room for one.
Still room.
There's room at the cross
for you.
For you.
Yes, sir.
I like that Jesus welcomes us.
Yes.
In our messed up state, he still makes room for us.
Yes.
And then it gets better. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus met this man with grace.
All right.
Oh, yes, he did.
Huh?
He says, Lord, what do you have to do with me? This is the demon talk.
Huh?
What do you want? And Jesus begins to, and it's not as, but Jesus begins to call the demon out of the man.
Yeah.
Jesus says, he makes it so clear. And mercy said, come out of him. See, this man understood. He said, I cried out to the Lord with a loud voice, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me. This man knew his inferiority, and yet he recognized Jesus' superiority. So much so that he said, Lord, you're the one, because you're superior, you can do something in my situation. And his grace showed up in this man's situation. Look what it says. In verse 8, for he said to him, come out of the man, unclean spirit.
Yeah.
The man did not ask Jesus to do anything. Uh-huh. But Jesus saw his condition and situation and began to call out that which was causing heartache, pain, and stress for this man.
My God.
Don't you know God's grace is still available to you today, this moment?
Thank you, Jesus. Right. Thank you.
Grace, we used to say, is grace unmerited. God giving you what you don't deserve. Grace.
Yes.
Grace woke you up this morning.
Yeah, thank you,
grace
Jesus.
Grace started you on your way.
Yes.
Grace has a home for you to go to when you leave here.
Yes.
Grace. The Apostle Paul uses the word grace about 100 times in his letters.
Yes.
Jesus does not use the word grace. Instead of using the word grace, Jesus shows you what grace looked like. This is an example of Jesus showing you what grace looks like. This man was in a bad way, but the grace of God showed up. And Jesus begins to call this demon out. Now, I had to understand that I'm going to be candid. I've had some troubles and demons like all of us have.
Yeah.
And there was nothing but the grace of God that got hold of us and was able to bring some stuff out of us. Otherwise, we might still be in our sad, putrid way. But the grace of God showed up. And as his grace showed up, it began to work in us. And he began to work through us.
Yes.
Things I used to like, I don't like no more. Not because I was so strong, but the grace of God is so strong. Because if I had my own way, I might still be doing it. But the grace of God is such that it moved. It's like I had a collision with grace.
Glory.
My ways, and grace showed up, and grace won.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
I don't know, his grace.
Grace.
His divine grace is what helped this man, because he was in a
he was in a bad way.
My God.
And he kept, and you know, every now and then, maybe we just need to come clean with God and say, listen, Lord, I need your grace in this situation because I know what I'm doing you don't like.
Yeah.
I don't like it. But I need your grace to show up.
Yes.
And give me strength to move and push past that which is not pleasing and looks more like you.
Right.
He can handle that kind of conversation.
Yes.
Right.
This man, Jesus showed this man grace.
Thank you, Jesus.
And he still makes his grace available.
Yes.
This man had an expectation that if I could just get to Jesus.
Jesus.
He might be able to change my condition. Mm. And beloved, maybe that's the message for somebody today. You may think you went too deep, that you went over your head. There's no way you can get out of this. But he's saying, no.
Yes, sir.
Come with an expectation. Run to me.
Yeah.
Worship me. And you'll be surprised and amazed what I can do through you.
Yes.
Jesus does something else. Another reason I felt this man felt that Jesus was too good to let go. That Jesus can transform us.
All right.
Jesus can transform you.
All
right. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind. And they were afraid. You see that? The man who once was out of control. The man who once was cutting himself.
Yes.
The man who once was naked, had no clothes. That man is now seated with Jesus.
Yeah.
It says sitting down. He's no longer in a place where he's ripping and running throughout the night, screaming day and night. He's now sitting down. Then it says he put some clothes on. Before it didn't matter.
Right.
Now, he's got clothes on. And it says he's in his right mind. Oh, gosh. Jesus was able to deliver him. Mm-hmm. And even it tells us in 13, it says, then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. Mm-hmm. And then they went running down a hill and drown. But here he's now saying, you can see that he's not quite the same man.
Yeah.
Right.
Jesus was able to transform him. I say that because he's still in the transformational business.
Thank you, Jesus.
He's still able to transform our life. You know one way to tell that someone really has had an encounter with Jesus Christ? Is their behavior. A changed life.
Yes.
A changed life. I don't care what they may say. Yes. A changed life that's going in the direction of Jesus.
Yes.
Turn around.
Yeah. Yeah. His life was now changed.
Yes.
It's evident.
Right.
Uh-huh. Scripture says, let your walk be made known. Your transformation be known by all through your behavior. The way you act now is different than when you didn't know him.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. See the difference. He looked back in his own mind and said, "My God, I'm sitting down. I'm no longer screaming to the top of my voice."
Right.
And people don't mind being around me now.
Right.
I no longer have to live among the tombs and the caves. I now know who I am.
All right.
I'm not the same person. If there's a message that folks need to know and hear more of today, that Jesus Christ can still transform your life. And he wants to do it, provided you surrender your life unto him.
Right.
He's a gentleman. He's not going to force you to do anything.
Right.
But if you allow him, if you give him access to you,
yes,
that which this man did,
uh-huh,
it's clear that your life can be transformed. I'm not just saying preacher talk.
Right.
We can look at our own life.
Right.
We know we used to be a pill. And some of us still are. But I'm not nearly the pill that I used to be. I've grown. People can take me a little easier now than I used to be.
All right.
A changed life is an indication that you have been redeemed.
Yes.
And that not just changed, but you are going in the direction of Jesus Christ.
Turn around.
And that's amazing. That we need to be mindful of that. Because we run up against some folks who feel it. No, I can't do nothing with me. I'm a basket case. No, you're not. If you think you're the worst thing that the Lord has had to handle, baby doll, you're mistaken. Apostle Paul was nothing but a murderer. He thought he was doing God a favor when he was out doing it. I mean, so if he can write over 2/3 of the New Testament and the Lord delivered him and used him mightily, there's still hope for you. There's still hope for you. There's hope for your son, your daughter, your nephew. He can transform you.
Yes.
And look, it was so much so that he said, Jesus, I want to go. Because Jesus was getting into the boat. And when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, I said the direction. He's now wanting to be closer to Jesus.
Yes.
He's moving in that realm of, Lord, I want to be with you. I want your presence. And the text suggested he didn't just say it once. It was a repeated plea.
My goodness.
Lord, I want to go with you.
Yes.
Lord, he kept saying it.
Yes.
Suggesting the urgency and how important it was for him to be in the presence of Jesus.
Yes.
I'm glad we don't have to do that. I'm glad I don't have to beg him. I'm indwelt by the power of the Holy Spirit, and he welcomes me. He welcomes me. And my jacked up self, he says, come on, boy. Come on. Come on, you. Come on. I've been waiting for you. What took you so long?
Right.
He says, I want to go with you. And interestingly enough, the Lord refuses his request.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Then they begin to plead with him to depart from that region. And when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him.
Mm-hmm.
Look at verse 9. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him,
oh,
go home to your friends.
Yes.
And tell them what great things the Lord has done for you.
That's right.
And how he has had compassion on you.
Yes.
That's right.
Now, Jesus had another ministry in mind for this man.
Mm-hmm.
Notice how Jesus says, first I want you to go home.
Yeah.
Interesting. He didn't say go to your community. He didn't say go to the synagogue. He said
go home.
Yeah. Why home? You ask good questions in Chapman Grove, you know. And because his family knew how messed up he was.
Wow.
See, his family had to go and watch as they put shackles on him.
Right.
His family had to go and maybe listen to him as he screamed day and night. His family had to remember how he was walking around like out of his mind. His family, those who loved him, remembered how bad off he was. But when he said, go home to your family first and tell them the great things the Lord has done, Reverend, I saw that as a challenge.
My God.
Maybe I need to do a better job.
Talk, sir.
And going to my family.
To the family.
Those who are unsaved, and we know who they are. Maybe I need to do a better job letting them know how great and how good God is.
Yes. Yes.
Maybe I can't say, well, I done tried once or twice.
Right.
They must don't want to go, so I ain't going to say nothing else.
Right.
No, that's the kind of, that's not the kind of posture that Jesus has.
Okay.
That's like saying you don't care. But if you love them,
yes,
like I know we do, then maybe we have to work the harder.
Come on,
to
sir.
Let them know. That's right. Keep praying for them.
Come on, sir.
Because see, once they close their eyes in death, if they don't know Jesus, we know what their reality is going to be. They're going to wake up in hell. All right.
My God.
They don't have to go to hell. And I want to make it my aim to get lost folk who I love following me. He said, go home to your family and let them know. Can you imagine the rejoicing that happened when he showed up? Oh, my God.
Yes,
Reverend.
Sir. My.
Is that?
Yeah, that's them. Yeah.
Wait a minute. No.
Yes.
It can't be him.
Yes.
Because the last time I saw him.
That's him.
He was still running with no clothes on.
That's him.
Didn't know who he was. The last time I saw him, nobody could do nothing with him.
Right.
The last time I saw him, I left crying. But now I have tears of joy because
that's him.
I now see he's in his right mind.
That's him.
I see that he knows who I am.
That's
he recognizes
him.
My face.
That's him. That's him.
It's got to be him.
That's him. My.
There was a reunion.
Right.
There was rejoicing because he who has lost has now been found.
My God.
They were. It doesn't say that, but I know family and friends. Pastor just said all 39 folk, 40. I know they had a good time. Can you imagine? That's the kind of celebration you want to have.
Right.
Uh-huh. He was in his right mind.
Thank you.
And he went home,
home
and told his family
yes.
and friends, people who knew he, and tell them, he said, tell them that the Lord has had compassion on me. Compassion.
Yes.
To experience mercy.
Glory, glory.
Compassion to help one afflicted or seeking aid.
Yes.
That was us.
Yes, yes sir.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, sir.
To bring help to the wretched.
Mm-hmm. Woo! Glory.
The wretched is distressed in body and mind. All of us fit that, but yet Jesus got a hold to us.
Yeah, thank you.
And turned us around.
Thank you, Lord.
He said, go home. To your family and friends.
And
look at what happened. He then becomes an evangelist.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not making that up. It's right there. I ain't kidding.
That's what
it gets better. And he departed.
Yep.
Left home. And began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him and all marvel. You see that? Decapolis was a region that had 10 cities.
Yeah.
Right.
9 of them were east of the Jordan River.
Right.
He was now going into a territory that did not know of our Lord. So he was going to be the Lord's mouthpiece to tell them what the Lord had done. And he was going to use his testimony
yes.
to help them see, yeah, I'm the one that you heard about. I can imagine his testimony.
Yeah.
Glory, glory, glory.
Yes, I'm the man who used to be among the tombs.
Yes.
I'm that man.
That man.
I'm the man who ran around with nothing on. I'm that man. You've heard about me. I'm that man who used to wound myself with stones. I'm that man.
That man.
No one could do anything with. I'm that man.
That man.
Who had an encounter with Jesus, and I'm not the same man. I just want you to know
that
when the Lord comes into your life, he changes you.
Yes.
I'm a witness to what he can do.
Right.
That man would be used to spread the gospel in a region that had no evangelist before.
My God,
remember, he made this trip all the way across the river, boat, all across the Sea of Galilee, for this one man. We see that it had a beginning, that Jesus arrived, and we see him going. And then we see the middle, but yet he left this man
that's good
there with the specific reason to extend or expand the gospel.
Yes, sir.
All that for one man.
My God.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes, sir.
There's no limit what God will do
no.
for one person.
Yes, yes.
One.
Yes.
That's amazing. He did all of that. And this man went out and became an evangelist.
My God.
He told people what Jesus Christ could do and how he could change their lives. And that's still the message of the gospel today.
Yes.
That Jesus saves to the utmost.
Glory God.
Jesus saves. I still like that kind of preaching about Jesus. I can't help it. If I can't talk about Jesus, I don't know what I'm going to preach about. I mean, yeah, I got 66 books. I know I got a lot of choices, and I know the Old Testament reveals some wrote. I got it. But I got to shout from the rooftop that Jesus Christ still is the answer.
Amen.
Not your job, not your zip code, not your wife. No. Jesus is the answer.
Glory God.
For the world today. So be his mouthpiece. Be like this man. Don't be ashamed. Let them know that Jesus can take you from where you are and can groom and grow you and develop you and use you. I want to give you a challenge. This time next year, the first Sunday in December, come to church with that person that God has allowed you to influence and woo and win them to Christ.
My God.
Look, listen. You got a whole year. And you don't have to do anything. I understand that. But I like to leave folk with an application.
Yeah.
You know, I want to challenge you. Not just a nice word, but I want you to, you know, that Negro might have said something because I know some folks in my circle. And, they know I go to church and everything, but what if I mess them up and say, you know, I'm going to call you. I'll tell you what. Make it easy. Start texting them.
Right.
Because I got a phone. Everybody got a phone.
Right.
Start texting them like John 3:16. Mess with them. You know, for God so loved the world, you know, and then Romans 10:8-9.
Confess with your mouth. Yeah. Confess with your mouth.
That's right. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him.
Yeah.
There's a whole bunch of them. Just plant seeds.
Mm-hmm.
So that the soil might be softened so that when you start talking like, I just wanted to let you know I'm praying for you. And then really mess them up. How can I pray for you?
Right. That piece right there.
How can I pray for you? Well, I don't know. Well, I'll lead you in prayer.
All right.
Beloved, this thing is serious. Time is winding up.
Yes.
And we have, as believers, we're supposed to be light and salt. Then let's start acting like light. Let's be salt. Let's make a difference.
Yes, sir.
And Father, we do bless your name.
Thank you, Jesus.
We thank you so much for this privilege that you've been too good that we can't dare let you go. We think about where you brought us from and what you're still doing in our lives. We can't help but stay close to you. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would come against that spirit of frustration, fear, doubt, and that you would replace it with a heart that wants to serve you, to love you, to witness for you. I pray in advance as the saints go out and begin to bring others to Christ, Lord. I pray that you would give them a boldness, but at the same time that they not be mean spirit or evil, but they have a gentle spirit like you did, and that you impress upon their heart that you'll meet them where they are as they try to witness and win others to the Lord. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, and for his sake, we do pray your thanks. Amen.